Tess Mal Cheshvan, Tuesday the 15th of October, Rabbi Naftali Dov Rosenberg, H2O+.
Originally, I planned to speak on a title called H2O+, which was regarding various shalas which are related to water topics. However, my father advised me on Friday that tomorrow the drosha is going to be on exactly that. And therefore, I resorted to do H2O-, and as the Pasha says this week, Gikach no ma'at mayim. If time will permit us, maybe I'll discuss one shalah which definitely won't be discussed tomorrow about regarding water. In the long winters, when it's a leap year, often there are overgrown teenagers or overage teenagers that want to have something exciting and they're waiting for some demonstration to happen. And occasionally, when Hashem helps them and some demonstration takes place, then to warm up the atmosphere, they often ignite public skips, which is therefore rubbish, which is obviously Chodesh Mishpatik forbidden, which we're not going to discuss now. I live in Beit Shemesh, about 20 minutes walk from where I live. Ramat Beit Shemesh, 7 years ago, was a common thing. Fortunately, today it's not common anymore. And at the time, all the neighbors in the area were very concerned about who's going to pay for it, whether the local council or them. But in my koidel, which is slightly further away from the area, they were concerned about a different shala. The shala was whether, often in a normal house, in a normal rubbish bag, there might be, on Sunday especially, some leftover chulent, which has inside meat, and perhaps Motzei Shabbos pizza was served. And when we ignite it together, there might be a shala of busa v'chulo. Rabbi Yanke mentioned earlier a similar shala about in the stomach. That was a shala which they brought up in the kodel, whether or not, without discussing the issue of Chodesh Mishpat and Kvod HaBrius and polluting air pollution, what's the halacha of Bosa v'cholof? That's the question.
It's in the bag on the rubbish bin or where it's going to be thrown into the bottle.
The question is a very valid question, but I don't deal in the rubbish areas. It's not my shala. The question is, these guys who don't listen to me anyway, these overgrown teenagers, whether we have to tell them the problem of Bosa v'cholof, maybe that will stop them doing what they're doing. That was the question. So we got it down, we discussed it in Koilel at the time, and there were five reasons that unfortunately it's not also, and therefore we can't stop them from that angle. We'll discuss them briefly, and we'll see whether or not it's mutter also. But there are many other examples which are far more common, even in Golders Green, which are perhaps also, which we'll mention soon. Number one, the famous Gemara, which Rabbi Yanke alluded to earlier. The Gemara in Chulin, Rashi quotes it in the Torah, that the Torah says three times, Lo yisevashel gedi b'chalev imoy. One to prohibit cooking, one to prohibit eating, and the third time to prohibit hanoa, any benefit from basar v'chalov. So the first question is, what is the reason behind the Torah's prohibiting cooking? And who cares? Does the reason behind it have any nafkemina lemaisa? I.e., if a person cooks it not for the purpose of eating it, is it also mutter? Unkelus, all three times in the Torah, when it comes to lo yisevashel gedi, says lo yiseichlon, do not eat. The Prechodosh asks, lo yiseichlon? Unkelus is meant to be a translator, especially when it's against the halacha. The Gemara says clearly that Bishul is also. You cannot cook. Why did he say Lo Yiseichlon? So the Pri Chodosh wants a paskin from that unkelus that he holds that when you're cooking not for the purpose of eating, there's no issue involved. The Pri Torah, the Aruch Haim HaKodosh, argues, and it is definitely a Safek D'Oraisa, so for that reason alone, it could definitely not be mutter. Question number two. The Torah says Lo Yisevashel. What is included in the word bishul? all about roasting, frying. Ordinarily, in a normal rubbish bag, there's no cup of milk or carton with some meat inside. Perhaps they'll be roasted together with some cheese, but the chances of being real cooking there are not so common. Is it also medoraisa to roast or not? Medrabonon is definitely also. Even kvisha, even soaking is also medrabonon, 24-hour period, or overnight. But the question is, what's regarding roasting? So again, it's machlekes reshoinim, and although the primogodim behefst merubah is makel, but again, the stuff like the rice, so we can't be makel for that reason alone. The Chabina Rav was asked about 50 years ago an interesting shaila. There was a chemist who was given the job to work for one of the kashrus organizations, and he had to take many non-kosher products, which were milky, and check in his laboratory whether inside there are any meaty ingredients. And to do that, he had to cook them. But he was cooking in it not for the purpose of eating, for the contrary, not to eat basar v'chalav. That's why he cooked them. Is it mutar or asur? And he discusses at length with Shaila, he brings the Magid Mishnah, and he brings the Gemara says in, regarding chometz, that there's no chashash a person will eat something when he's occupied in searching to eliminate the chometz. And similarly, in basar v'chalav, no chashash he might eat it. But he rules that halacha l'maaseh is not maker for that reason, although he does give it a big ground in the Ikar Halacha. So that third reason is not sufficient in its own right, but there are already three reasons to be matur. But the Yad Avraham and many other posts can discuss what's a din when he's not cooking it for any purpose, just to the contrary, he's cooking it to get rid of it. Like our Shaila. Amanas la'abed. They bring an open Gemara in Chulin, which the Gemara says that perhaps every basar v'chalav can be burnt. And it's meant to be burnt, not shouldn't be buried, because osur b'hanorah should be burnt. And therefore, again, we have a clear proof that basar v'chalav can be burnt. But also, that thing is questionable, we won't go into all the ins and outs. Everyone knows in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a rule, dovar she'ein miskaven mutar. For example, a person has a bench, a light bench, a lightweight bench. Can he pull it, drag it, when it might do harisha, which he might want? So everyone knows, if it's a light bench, which won't definitely do so, he can drag it on Shabbos. According to most poskim, and all this rule encompasses all the Torah. Therefore, in our Shaila, who says the rubbish bag is going to have, in one place, both meat and milk? So it's again, l'chayr is davash enim eskaven. But it's not waterproof, this nekuda. The Taz actually holds like this, but the Magen Avraham says differently in Hilchos Shabbos. He says, Dovah She'inim Eskaven is only Mekan Ulehaba. The person doesn't know what's going to happen. He's now pulling the bench, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Is it going to cause the earth to be plowed or not? But when the question is, what is there? He's igniting the fire. The question, is there milk and meat or not? He doesn't know what is there. It's Lemafreya. It's not considered Dovash Enim Eskaven. It's Machloikis Taz and Morgan Avram. Reb Kiva Eger uses it. In the olden days, it was very, very common. Every person used to go to old inns, and they want to have the problems of Bishul Akum. So what does every yid know? You put on the fire. So he wants kosher food, kosher bread, put on the fire. But in the oven, there's non-kosher food with milk and meat together. There might be. Is it Dovash Enim Eskaven or not? And here, with many reasons together, is matter there. He does use this, Morgan Avraham, the Taz, as a tziruf to be matarit. But the final and most clear heter is that normally in a rubbish bag, there usually are some Pampers or some other things which might give not such a pleasant taste to this milk and meat mixture. And therefore, there's a clear halacha in Simon Tzadik case, Yiv Dalid, where the Mechaber rules that if a person would be poigim basar v'chalav, there would be no isem bishul. The Taz and Shach argue there on the plate, on the argue halacha l'maaseh, you cannot do it. For Svadim, it's no problem. Rabbi Yosef uses it even to be matter dishwasher. We won't go to that discussion now. But Ashkenazim definitely cannot rely on it. However, the Pesach Teshuva differentiates whether a person's poigim basar v'chalav or he makes it, before they mix together, he's poking each one separately, like in our case. Before the meat and milk will clash in this rubbish skip, they already become pogrom beforehand, from the bag, and from the container, and from all other unpleasant things which might be in this skip. And therefore, unfortunately, we cannot answer this shaila from Bosa v'Cholov, and it's mekadin muta. That's all, again, if there definitely are both things there. If we're not sure that the rubbish bag, that it's not Sunday morning, or it's not next to yeshiva where the bukhram, leave behind a lot of food, then it definitely won't be osa, because lo machzekin on isura. There's a rule in halacha. If you don't know that it's basar b'chalav, why should you be choshesh? What is very common, which people are not aware of, which is, what's the halacha is, in a washing machine, a person has a towel, which he cleaned up the milk, and a second towel, which he took out from the oven, something meaty, which might be on it meat, can he or not put them in the washing machine together? If the washing machine is on temperature not below 45, it's about 45, 50, 60, or 70, if to ask the housewives which temperature they put on, it might be on first glance, also, Bishul, Basar v'Cholov. So let's quickly summarize what we discussed beforehand, and we'll see which heterim are applicable. We said six heterim. Number one, what's the din of tzliya? In a washing machine, it's cooked. Bishul. Lo'ya menas le'echol, that's definitely relevant here. He doesn't want to eat the soapy water, and he doesn't want it to have it at all. That is one available. And le'ibud, it's not only not to eat, it's le'ibud, he wants to get the dirty water away. Sofik psikoresha generally is, because no one is sure that it's going to be together. And there's a certain other heter which we didn't discuss earlier, which is psikresh de lo nichele by the Rabbonon, which is according to many paskim mutar, a tziruf. And the main thing is, we discussed earlier that every single washing machine usually is used with washing powder, therefore it's pogrom. But there are two more heterim here, which is number one is, the chatchil is definitely also this heter alone. Most washing machines, according to my understanding, don't have an element inside the washing machine where the water hits it. It's outside and it goes through the holes there. It's irreclearishon, which goes, irre means it's poured from where it hits the element. It goes inside the washing machine and it hits the whole surface, which is metal, which cools it off. So according to many poskim, there's no issa b'shul b'chalav d'oraisa in this case. Even though l'chatchila, we definitely can't rely on it, but most Ashkenazic poskim do rely l'chatchila when it happens, when it's pogrom already, to now go and cook it, and it's l'ibud, and we have another four heterim, and especially normally there's a lot of water in the washing machine. People don't use economical things, and therefore it's usually basar b'shashem anyway. Even if there would be on the towel basar be'en chalav be'en, it wouldn't be balua inside, which would definitely be a mitzvah for different reasons. Nonetheless, it would be mutter because, again, it's balua. Sorry, it's pogrom because of the powder. It is psikresh lo nichele. It's dovash einem eskaven because not sure it's going to happen. Hit each other in the right thing. It's klisheni and it's leman aslechol and leibud, which is enough to be matter washing towels together. By the way, what people do have to be aware, which is often also. If a father, a leil erev Pesach, by Bedikas Chometz, finds in one child's satchel a meaty sandwich which he left behind from 5 days ago, which is still perhaps edible, and he finds in the second child's sandwich a cheese sandwich which the child also didn't like for different reasons, and he puts them both in the fire together, and he does no pogum there in a normal instant, because he takes them out of the bag because he wants to do Shrefas Chometz behida. He should be careful to keep them separate, not one on top of the other, lechatchila, and later, if they do mix together, it's over she'en miskav, which is muta. But lechatchila, you should be careful to put them in the fire, not to put one on the other directly, not to go into any problems. Okay, now let's discuss, we discussed more meaty shala, let's discuss one short watery shala, which we definitely will discuss tomorrow. In a certain yeshiva in Bnei Brak, Shabbos morning, the cook, who was not a Talmud Chacham, he was a cook, And he saw the cholent getting burnt, and he was very scared what might happen to the cholent gets burnt. So he thought, you know, he's not going to cook on Shabbos any new things, I'll just add some water that shouldn't get burnt. That's what he did. And the cholent was very, very tasty. But before it got to hit the table, somebody revealed that something's wrong. There's more water than normal, and the shalom came, can you eat the cholent this Shabbos or not?
Cold water?
He put in, unfortunately, cold water. He wasn't Tam Tocham. But we have water. Pardon? Yeah, kelim the kettle is generally mutter. If it's directly or indirectly, it's definitely issue. But yeah, it's definitely mutter from a kettle. The churnt was on the blech, but he put cold water and cooked it on Shabbos. That's a different issue, a different topic. The clock's against me, so I have to keep it short. The shaila is, can you have it on Shabbos or not? So let's go stage one. Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Yud Ches quotes the Goyim, which says that Bishul b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, he was the Elchi, the cook, is b'di'eved mutar b'mokam hatzairich. However, it's against the ruling of the Mechaber and the Ramah, Upaskim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and Levush. All Paskim disagree with this ruling, but Mishnah Berurah relies on it. So if it would be Mokam HaTzorich, if it would be something like a Sheva Brachas, where you have to have children, you can't embarrass the Baal HaSimcha, then perhaps a normal Ashkenazi Rav would be matter it because of Mokam HaTzorich B'Shoigig. But Sfardim cannot rely on it. Rabbi Yosef has long tshuva, they Shimpon of Oifli, Mokam HaTzorich, can't rely on this Pesach, it's against Maran Bet Yosef, also. How, so that's one sad to be matterit. But there's another shala. Depends how much water he put in. If he put in water more than 1 out of 60, it would be a more serious shala. If it would be less, then perhaps it might be mutter. However, there's a rule in Bittul, Dovo sheyesh lo matirin is osor in Shabbos. All year round. And after Shabbos, this child becomes mutter. And therefore, no Bittul can happen if it's after Shabbos and then become mutter. Wait till after Shabbos and eat it then. However, that's not true for many reasons. We'll discuss only one of the reasons now, that Dovah Shesh Lematirin is only Osur. Now, if it's going to become mutter, you cannot have it on Shabbos. That's only if you have a purpose in it after Shabbos. Chulent on Thursday night is a delicatess. On Friday night after the meal, it's also some big Tahara. And by Kiddush of Reich, it's also very good. And by Shabbos meat also. But Motzei Shabbos generally, it's Shalom just like a Sregma after Sukkot. And therefore, the Shalom Motzei Shabbos has no purpose, even though it can be eaten, but no one wants it. And it lost its value. And therefore, Dovah Shesh L'Matirin wouldn't aser it here. But in this case, anyway, there was more than 1 out of 60. And therefore, Dovah Shesh L'Matirin would not help to be matter in our case. A third reason to be matter, perhaps. It is okay, but if it's a person loses money out of it, then it's not called Yesh Lematirin. If you go on the sell a big Cholent Motzei Shabbos, it's 100% right. According to Ran, my thesis is not applicable, but Pesach Tshuva and Siman Kiv Beis and many other poskim rely on Rashi, which Rashi says, just wait for it. Do not. Ran is quoted by the Tazda, but the Tazda himself in the Sack later relies on the Rashi to Yimata Alocha Lemaisa. But again, our shala wasn't applicable. The point is a good point, but it's anyway, this shala wasn't wouldn't help. One last thought, which is not good, was perhaps, which probably he'll discuss tomorrow, water is tasteless. And perhaps there's no taste of water here. No taste, no issa in town. But it's not true, it's a Gemara by Dezora. I asked very simply, the Chomim, it's not a good reason. The Rav was asked, decided that for the chinuch of the Bochrim, it's very well, they should know that you can survive Shabbos without the cholent also. It might help the Meitan Cholent Bais, but therefore he asked the cholent. It wasn't a Sheiruchas, it was Bochrim Yeshiva, and it was prohibited. By the way, this whole the Shalos of Bishul Basar V'Cholov is negated to this Pasha also. The Medrash says, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get the Torah from Hashem, the Malachim said, why should he get the Torah? So Hashem made Moshe's features similar to Avram, and he said, you ate in his house basar b'chalav. How can you possibly go and argue about him taking the Torah? So Chazon Sofer and all other poskim discuss Where was the basar v'chalav? Eating meat and after milk and afterwards meat, even if you don't do kinoach v'hadocha and all other things, the only itzah derabonan. And how can you take on the malachim with the itzah derabonan? There was chem v'chalav. He ate first the bread and butter, and later they ate the thing. If Avram cooked it together, now Avram would be doing the itzah of bishul.
There's no issue, because
there wasn't a Torah. No, they were fighting against Moshe. He shouldn't get the Torah. He said, what do you have the Torah? You also don't get the Torah. So again, if Avram would have cooked it together, now Avram would have done the Issa of Bishul. And if it wasn't cooked together, then there's no Issa involved. So they're right, sir. So what's the problem with the Malachim? But if we'll say that burning milk and meat together is the Issa Deiraisa, and the Malachim are called Gufan Eish, and had one after the other inside, then perhaps there might be Issa Deiraisa involved. And perhaps the Chasam Sofer didn't agree with it, doesn't hold with the Halacha Lemaaseh of burning together. So anyway, it's only a small anecdote. Now, in this week's Pasha, I once heard from somebody that he's very disappointed with Pasha's Vayera. He's very disappointed. I asked him why. So he said, look, Avraham Avinu went out early morning, until later, K'choyim Hayoim, in pain. Why? To be able to give and do achnosas orchem and give somebody who's desperate for some food in the middle of the desert and give him some pleasure. What happened? Who came at the end? Three malochim. They weren't hungry, they weren't thirsty, didn't eat them. Very disappointing. For what did he do all the job? Number two, Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem that Sodom are going to be overturned. So Avraham gets out and tries to defend them, and he tries 50, 45, and he works and tries all different ways of defending Sodom. And what happens in the end? Disappointing. Sodom is overturned. Number three, Hashem gives him the biggest nesoyin. Go and shecht Yitzchok. And he goes, gets up in the morning, vayashkim, and he goes. And what happens at the end? Nothing. It's a very disappointing parsha, he says. Doesn't like this parsha. So, at first I told him, let me tell you a moshel of the Dubna Magid, which might alleviate one question. The pasuk says, Hashem said, Hamachasani me'avrom es ashani oise. Will I not tell Avram what's going to happen in Sodom? For Avram, Hoyogi, Legoi, Godl, Osva, Otsom, is going to become a big nation. Ki Dati, I love him, that why the man Ashiyat Savez, Bonavis, Beis Achrov. What's the connection with two Psokim? Because Avram is going to have so many generations, and because it's going to become a big nation, therefore I have to tell him what's going to happen in Sodom. Because it's going to have so many descendants, therefore Avram has to know in advance what's going to happen in the overturning. Who says a marshal? I'm going to update the marshal in today's terms, you know, in Little Lithuania of 200 years ago, there was slightly more, the situation was different. A father wanted to buy for his only son a suit for his bar mitzvah. So he came into a shop, and it was pain as manem time, and it was full, and the air conditioning wasn't working at its best either. After a whole hour, he finally, the shop owner tells him, how can I help you? He says, I would like a suit for my only son who's not having bar mitzvah. He said, where's your son? He's at home. I'm awfully sorry, mister. I don't sell suits without the client, with the boy here. But he's a normal size, you know, bar mitzvah. Say, I understand you very well, but I will not sell you a suit which is not the right size. I'm awfully sorry. Okay, he goes home, brings the little one with. The queue is ready, long again. And he's really fed up. A whole hour passes, and the heat is immense. Finally, the guy before him is ready, being served. And he hears the shop owner asking the guy, what do you need? He said, I have a son becoming bar mitzvah now, normal size. I would like a suit for him. He said, no problem. Go to this rack. Take, there are five or six designs that choose. Okay, this is enough for him. I'm sorry. I'm here. I came here. I waited. He didn't want to serve me. And now this guy comes with an identical request that I had. And you tell him, go to this rack. What did I do wrong? Why do you hate me? What did I do wrong to you? The store owner looks at him and says, I don't understand. You said you have one only son. If it won't fit him, he had nothing to do with it. This other guy has eight sons ranging from age 8 to 18. He could be slightly big or slightly small. Or fit the other son. He's not concerned. I'm not concerned. So why shouldn't I give it to him? Said the Magid, Avraham Avinu was told he should go the fence to him. Hashem told him, if it won't work, they don't have enough tzaddikim. Klal Yisrael has many generations to come, thousands of years. There'll be many situations where his tefillahs, which he davened then, will help us as descendants in all situations where there are a certain number of tzaddikim, and will help us to survive. However, somebody doesn't have it. You're right. Avraham Avinu is goy, gadol, otzem v'rov, and his children will be worthy. Eman sheyitzaveh es bonav es beis ha'achrov. That was one of the three disappointments. The real pashut pshat is a lot simpler. We say in Tfilas Geshem, Zechoyr ha'noilad b'v'soyras yukach no ma'at mayim. What do you mention about Avraham, about Yitzchok, in reference to Avraham's chus? That he was born with soiras yukach no ma'at mayim. What's so special about yukach no ma'at mayim? He gave it of water for the feet. Pardon? True. And then you might have to mention the three cows, which are more important, and a bit of water. A person is here in this world for one purpose, to do Hashem's will. Achievement may give a person self-satisfaction. But our job here in this world is not to achieve and see great objectives being reached. Rather, our greatest objective is to do what Hashem wants. If you see three Arabs out there, and you think they're Arabs who are hungry, and you serve them because Hashem put that in your sense to do, then you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing Hashem's will. If you're davening because Hashem wants you to daven, even though you don't see any result, that's in its own right a mitzvah. If Hashem wanted you to think you're going to slaughter your son, and you don't do it, then that's chob, that's what we say every single Yom Nairoim. It's a great schus. You wanted to do Hashem's will, you want to do the right thing, the achievements and results, nothing to do with you. A person doesn't have to look for results. His achievement is when he does what he should do. That's the greatest chus. And therefore, even though the water wasn't needed to wash the Arabs' feet, because they weren't Arabs, they didn't celebrate the Zora. There was no dust in the feet which they bowed down to. But he knew normal people come look like Arabs. They're idol worshippers. Therefore, he brought them water. He did everything just like he felt and he understood he had to do. And he didn't make any cheshboinus. That's the schus. That's tmimus. That's hayei somim. We do what Hashem wants regardless without the cheshboinus. That's why it's a big schus. And it's such a disappointing parasha because our others taught us that we do what we should do without thinking about what the results am I achieving or not achieving.
Just do it.
Just do. May Hashem help, as the Abderav said, Ha'hoifchi Hatsur Agam Moyim. He said, may Hashem turn over Hatsur. We turn over the rock, becomes Reitzeh, which is Rosh HaTevis, Ro'o, Vehiskin, Tzura Salvona. And then he said, the Abderav, Agam Moyim, Ovdu Goyim Me'artzom, Imagil Yeshua Smalkav Meher B'Meinu Amen.